I was an older parent. I was 38 when I had my firstborn son, and I gave home birth, and the breastfeeding wasn't going well at all, and I was ready to give up, but was told by my health visitor to go to see a breastfeeding drop-in, which I had no idea existed. And so I went to Clare Gardens and was seen by a specialized health visitor who was also a breastfeeding counselor at the time. And she then told me to, she helped me with breastfeeding. We re-established it, so I didn't have to feed my child bottles. And she took me to Maxilla to a group meetings with mothers who suffer from postnatal depression, because she recognized I wasn't very well and I was crying all the time. I thought I was fine, but it was just great to have somebody to recognize it. And then I went, I saw the building under the west where I thought, what a bunker, what am I gonna do there? And then I entered, and then they were so lovely and friendly and talked to me, knew my name soon enough, and I slowly started coming, got to know more mums. This is how I first came to Maxilla. How it was run was that we would enter a room which was dimmed, the lights were dimmed, we were given fruits, and the smell was nice, there was some lovely music playing, and there were just these two women that would care about us. And I am a mum who doesn't have any support in England. I am my mum doesn't live here, so for me, an older woman who cared about me when I was a new mum was something amazing. And another amazing thing was the creche that they were offering, that they could take my son from my arms for an hour. And at first he didn't like it, he screamed a lot, but then he befriended Tracy, who then was his, so he was a baby, he must have been about 2-3 months old when we went. And that relationship with Tracy lasted him until he left nursery for primary school, because she was the first person who was able to console him, apart from me and his father. So that, and yeah, so, and then in the room, there were mums, they were wealthy mums, they were poor mums, they were working mums, they were all of us were in the same boat. And it was just the funniest group meetings I've ever been to, because the things that I was suffering in silence at home that were going through my head, suddenly somebody else saying it loud, it just seemed hilarious. We laughed a lot, we did relaxation, we did some coping ideas and skills, we shared, but I think more than anything, we shared friendships and support. So then we were able to babysit for each other, we visited each other in homes, we gave each other financial support. I'm still in contact with two of those mums. And I loved Maxilla's vibration. I loved the Anne-Marie greeting us in the door. I loved the people personally knowing my story, not being ashamed or having have to hide anything that was happening to me, being able to just have that network, to go to a village. I don't know, I felt we were going to a village in the morning, and then the day will pass amicably after that, you know. Non-judgmental, all-inclusive, we were supportive, kind of listening to our needs and then taking them on board and then developing something around the needs of the parents and the children. If my child was interested in stars, suddenly they had stars out, or if my child was going through something difficult, I was able to just talk to everybody. And I at the time, I found my child challenging, and I was able to meet those challenges with other people and mothers that were kind of giving me the thumbs up that this is going to pass, this is not going to be forever. When I had relationship problems, I was able to talk to someone and be pointed in the right direction. I just felt, didn't feel I'm alone with things. And so the vibration I felt was friendship, friendliness, non-judgmental, very intelligent way of dealing with things in a very humane, I felt it was humane, yeah. My older son is kind of fragile, I feel, and I was very worried about him. And then when we got a place in nursery in Maxilla, it was all the weight came out of my shoulders. I knew he's now going to be among friends again, and I have nothing to worry about anymore. And then him having access to the garden and being able to run around the garden and having those friendships from when he was a baby with Tracy, just having the same person with him all the time, it was just a miracle, really. In London, I just thought, I'm so fortunate to be able to say this in an urban environment, to have that. While in Maxilla, if they ask you how are you and you started to cry, someone gave you a hug and a cup of tea, and the next day they ask you what happened and can you, and they laughed with you about it, and it was just going among a lot of friends. So as I think my mental health was greatly improved by knowing that I am not alone, because one of the biggest issues I faced as a parent was loneliness, feeling lonely. Oh, he flourished. He took to it like a duck to water. The garden especially, that he was allowed to climb trees, that he was allowed to slide from that top hill down on a rope, that he was allowed to be naughty, or, you know, what is considered naughty wasn't naughty, that he was listened to in his particular way of speaking. We have accent, and he has a strong accent, and just being, he loved Monica, his teacher, and all the other teachers as well. We used to go to the aerobics when Alketa did the exercise aerobics. We could see his little brother. He just got healthier and healthier and more emotionally robust. And I don't think without that place, he would be in a place where he is now. And that I will be eternally grateful for, because things were not good at home. And as a house in turmoil, him having been able to go to a loving, stable place for the whole day was another thing that I cannot speak highly enough about. I did the sewing there, where I met the lovely, bubbly Esther and other mums with whom I've developed long, long life. I could say now relationships. I've met one mum there whom I supported in getting a teaching place somewhere else. So we looked after her child for a week. Like really deep and meaningful relationships were formed at Maxilla during attending these activities. I have learned to sew, so I have now, you know, I'm sewing my own handbags and I'm not afraid of the needle anymore again. So I did knitting there with Ursula. I did anything really. We did the mosaics with Toby. Any specialized kind of workshops. There were some music workshops where we made tambourines from paper. There was parenting advice or parenting workshops. And I met very quirky, amazing mothers from around here. The youngest son experienced Maxilla from early pregnancy. So when he was in my tummy, I would go and see Denise, who would then say everything is fine. So I never had to go to hospital appointments or anything like that. He was with me in the tummy when I was able to support other mums who were pregnant, were worried to go to appointments or worried about certain procedures that I was then familiar with and was able to help. And his experience was that I was still breastfeeding the first child. So he was in breastfeeding drop-ins in my tummy. And then when he was born, straight after that, we used to go there for the weighing and then for the breastfeeding sitting workshop, and then immediately going to the drop-ins and then always picking up Sebastian from the classroom. And then he then went to the two-year-old purple room when it reopened, and that was such a joy they treated the children like their little treasured dollies, and what they did with them was just like so incredible. Anne-Marie, Noel and Nicole team, I'm sorry if I'm forgetting somebody, but it was really incredible. And then from there, he was taken to the main part of the nursery, where for a little bit he was in the same group with his brother. So they had like 3 months together or something in the nursery, which was, again, in itself, like he joined his big brother. But it was like a village. Like we had our life was very strongly connected to what was happening in Maxilla, and we knew good things are happening there, so we always felt safe, yeah. When the news broke, I broke. It was just so tremendously impossible that anything like that could close down, that anybody would even fathom the thought of closing such a place down, and they did. Then I was moving at the time, and so my friend Ursula took the main, absolutely amazing initiative of writing, corresponding with people, making a petition. We got 1,900 people to sign the petition. We then got the local government to meet to discuss the petition. I don't know what that's called, committee or something. And then still after that, it closed down, and I couldn't bear it. For me, this was like a village was being wiped out and murdered rather than, I know this sounds very strong, but that anybody would allow this amazing human network to perish was like a beehive or a, was completely unthinkable to me. So I went away very early in the summer, so I didn't attend the party. I didn't want to attend the party. For me, it was worse than 1,000 funerals in the same time. I do realize that now things moved on and children have been moved and are now coexisting with Colborne and Maxilla. A lot of the Maxilla staff moved to Colborne, and things are good and improving. But the loss of the Maxilla hub for the community is tremendous. Yeah, so they said that they will no longer do that, and they withdrew the funding for the functioning of Maxilla as a standalone nursery and a children's centre, and it happened very fast, and there were lots of politics involved that I don't understand as a parent, but altogether it makes no sense to me. It was a beehive home and a village for my children to feel safe, supported and well led in good values of friendship, love, what caring looks like, what working together looks like, what attention to other people looks like, spirit. So that was for my children. What it was for me, it was a supportive place where I could bring my ideas and my life and live it to its maximum potential in a way, as a mom or as a single mom of two small children in this time of my life, which I realize is just a segment of life, and I will move on and things will get better. But they had, like, if Maxilla was open now, I would be attending their job training or being helped to set up my own business or things like that. So my life would have been continually supported by the networks that were available there, and now I have to look elsewhere. Oh, he was so happy. Just when he learned in the morning that he is going there, he was jumping on me with joy. He was really, 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 really happy. His heart was like opening. He was so happy. And then they went, and then he talked about it to everybody the whole afternoon. He was telling people on Portobello Road on the way home from nursery that he went to Maxilla, and that it's all different, but he was in the garden. And for him, it's just like going home, because this was his half home since he was born. He became a big boy in there. So for him to be able to go back to the garden and that amazing news, when I heard that, I was so happy. When I heard that you're going to be managing the garden on behalf of Maxilla and Colborne, for children to be able to go back and use it as a forest school, I think that's the best news ever after the carnage that has happened. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe, because you are doing this wonderful project, that will keep it in people's minds, and that one day it will reopen again.